sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Is he alive? This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I'm Sean Sears, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Anthony Rizzo and the Cubs were back Tuesday night for some much-needed home cooking, smashing their way to a 5-3 win over the Giants. We'll recap Tuesday night's win and more in the first segment, and then preview Wednesday night's matchup between Yu Darvish and Derek Rodriguez, as well as touch on the NL Central standings here in the second segment. Today's show is brought to you by Postmates. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 in free delivery credit for their first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On to get yourself $100 in free delivery credit. Check that out. Postmates is great. You can get Locked On Cubs on the Himalaya app, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn app, Radio, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On Cubs, and when you do subscribe, make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you're thinking about the podcast. And then, as always, when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Cubs for all the great content. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs, and you can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. So, Cubs beat the Giants 5-3 Tuesday night. Cole Hamels, a better outing. Not necessarily exactly what we were looking for. He still kind of got hit decently hard, but 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, the 2 home runs. His ERA is now to 3.73. Tyler Beede, on the other hand, gave up 3 more home runs, like we mentioned in Tuesday's podcast before this game. Tyler Beede, the starter for the Giants, only lasted 4 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs, all 3 solo shots. 2 of them come from Anthony Rizzo, 1 came from Nick Castellanos, who continues to stay hot. Overall, good win for the Cubs. It was a little bit back and forth at the beginning of this game. The Cubs took an early 2-0 lead in the first inning when Anthony Rizzo and Nick Castellanos both homered. Jason Hayward had hard contact. 3 of the 4 balls hit in that inning to start that were all scorched. I mean, Hayward teed off on a line out that went straight to right field. First pitch he saw, Lynn Casper couldn't even get the little Benny's leadoff man note out there before Hayward was out. But Castellanos on a 2-2 pitch clubbed a ball to center field. Anthony Rizzo on an 0-1 fastball inside, turned on it, drove it to deep right field. Cubs took an early 2-0 lead. It was tied quickly, though, in the second inning, starting with an Evan Longoria leadoff walk. Kevin Pillar popped out to shortstop, and then Austin Slater on a 3-1 pitch clubbed it into right field. Giants tie the game 2-2. It stays that way until the third inning. Top of the third inning, Anthony Rizzo on a 2-2 pitch hits his second home run of the year, his 25th, or excuse me, second of the game, 25th of the year. He is one of only 6 Cubs players, or excuse me, the 7th player in Cub history to have 6 or more seasons with 25 home runs or more. So it's great to see Rizzo coming back. I believe that's his 4th home run in his last 3 games. The power's coming back for Rizzo, and that's great to see. Cubs taking a 3-2 lead in this game, though. It's tied up once again. Kevin Pillar absolutely teed off on a ball into left field. Ball had a lot of carry in this game. It drifts into left field. It was just so high. You knew it was dropping down. Pillar ties the game up at 3 apiece. It stays that way until the bottom of the 7th when Jonathan Lucroy smashes a ball in between 1st and 2nd that comes off the second baseman's glove, skips into right field. Javier Baez, who was at 2nd, was able to get around to 3rd and score on the play. So the Cubs take a 4-3 lead. Tony Kemp, unfortunately, ends that inning with a ground-out double play. Disappointing with the chance to score some runs here. Stays that way until the bottom of the 7th. Tony Kemp hits a fly ball with the bases loaded Actually looked like a pretty decently solid hit ball. Wind kind of pushed it in a bit, stays up in the air. Rizzo is able to trot home and score. Everyone moves up on the play as well. Cubs take a 5-3 lead. Russell comes in. He grounds out to end that inning. Rowan Wick comes in and pitches a solid eighth inning, getting one strikeout and two groundouts from Posey and Pilar. Longoria, the strikeout victim. And then Craig Kimbrell comes in the bottom of the ninth, or excuse me, top of the ninth, strikes out Stephen Voigt, gets a line out for Brandon Belt, and then Brandon Crawford pinch hitting for Abidel Avellino. I butchered that name. I apologize. Can't imagine he's a big Cubs fan listening to this podcast, but if you hear that, I apologize. Brandon Crawford pinch hits for him, flies out. I don't know, a one count. Cubs take a 5-3 lead and win that game 5-3. So, good stuff to see. Obviously, Cole Hamels better, but not great. There were still moments where you could see he was still kind of the release point wasn't quite there. He had a curveball that he hung and just missed the zone on, I think it was Joe Panic. It's a lefty batter. I'm trying to remember who that was. But then he came back to that same exact curveball once again. And Jim Deshaies said on the broadcast, you know, the best time to fix that is the next pitch. And you could just see as Deshaies was talking, the release point was kind of awkward for Hamels, and that ended up with the ball floating a bit. We saw some of those mistakes being made. Kevin Pillar, it was announced on the Giant broadcast, he's got 5 home runs in his last 2 weeks. He's not missing mistake pitches from pitchers right now. And Cole Hamels had a couple of those where he kind of got away, fell out of the strike zone, or just ended up lingering on the corner, and someone thought it was going to be a ball, and it took. But he still looked better than he obviously has in his last outing. He's able to go 6 innings. That's huge for the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo continues to hit well. Nick Castellanos, after a ton of media coverage from yesterday prior to the game with comments he was saying about how he plays each day like it's opening day, so he lives in the now type of focus. And, of course, the things I mentioned in the podcast yesterday, talking about Joe Maddon's praise and getting a little teared up when he was talking about that. So Castellanos, fun guy. Wrigley is loving him right now, and he loves hitting at Wrigley with his 7th home run with the Cubs so far. So, one disappointing note to mention, Chris Bryant, first off, his hair got awful. We'll talk about that in the second segment. But in terms of runners in scoring position, still not doing great. He left 5 runners on base. The team was 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position, 10 runners total left on base. But Chris Bryant came up to bat twice with the runners. I think there was Castellanos or Hayward at third, Castellanos on first, and there was another time runners on first and second, and he popped up, he lined out, he hasn't gotten the greatest contact. He's still hitting well, and he's still probably the best overall player on this team. He's still, you know, in terms of superstar power, Chris Bryant is probably right there with Javier Baez as the two best players on this team right now, but he just continues to struggle with runners in scoring position. That's always kind of been his thing. It just feels like pitchers know where he's trying to go with the ball, and we'll have to see what adjustments he makes, but I'm not so worried about Chris. It's just disappointing. You know, if the Cubs hadn't won this game, I think people would have pointed to that and been like, Chris Bryant needs to do better. Some people were upset with Tony Kemp starting. I get why he's there. For what I'll say here, Luke Roy and Kemp obviously driving the 2 key runs to give the Cubs the lead and, you know, the insurance run from Tony Kemp on the flyout. We weren't seeing those types of bats from David Bodie, from Addison Russell, from Albert Almora. We saw a lot of guys chopping that ball down. I mean, in a bases-loaded situation with just one out, put the ball in the air. If you can't do anything with it, if you need that insurance run, it's really, the game's going to look a lot better if it's 5-3 as opposed to 4-3 handing the ball to Craig Kimbrell, who's been so-so. But Kimbrell looked good. Rowan Wick looked solid. Bullpen starting to get healthy. Let's hope that kind of changes things. Brandon Kinstler, Steve Cishek, Craig Kimbrell, all now healthy and a part of this roster. Kyle Ryan looked great last night, too. So we're seeing some things here. This Giants team is a lot of smoke and mirrors, I would say, and a lot of overperforming that's kind of picked up and pulled this team into where they are. They're not necessarily great, but their pitching's still pretty solid. So we'll touch on more of Wednesday night's matchup here in the second segment. But before we do that, I do have a quick word from our sponsor, Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever a moment arises. Now this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the US, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy right now. We've got a special listener for, or a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Cubs. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Here in the second segment, we've got a Wednesday night preview to go with the Giants and Cubs facing off once again. It's a 7:05 local start at Wrigley. It should be on CSN Chicago or NBC Sports Chicago. I was going to call it CSN. I should know that I worked for them. But it's Derek Rodriguez on the mound facing Yu Darvish. Rodriguez on the season, he's got a 4.79 ERA. 46 strikeouts compared to just 26 walks on the season so far. In his last seven starts, a 5.08 ERA. And his most recent start against Arizona was probably his best start of the year, one of the best starts. Three hits, no earned runs, one walk, four strikeouts, and 95 pitches. Against Philly, though, just a week before that on August 1st, only lasted three innings, eight hits, seven earned runs, four hits, two walks, no strikeouts, gave up a home run on just 69 pitches. So he went back to essentially back-to-back starts being his worst start of the year, arguably, to his best start of the year. A lot of five-inning, three-inning starts here for Rodriguez. He's not going very long, and with the way the Giants' bullpen is constructed, they can kind of allow a guy to kind of find his way through here. At 27 years old, Rodriguez is not so much a young project anymore than he is who he is. So we'll have to see what happens there. But Rodriguez, good, bad starts, kind of trading off. We'll see if the Cubs can maybe catch him on a bad start. Yu Darvish, on the other hand, he's got a 4.21 ERA, 4-6 on the season. The 32-year-old has struck out 168 batters compared to just 59 walks. He has given up 26 home runs on the year, a lot of solo shots. If he can keep the runners off the base, it's usually when Darvish has good season or good games. He's got a string of four consecutive starts right now where he hasn't issued a walk, and he's had 9, 8, 9, and 10 strikeouts in those last four starts. A 2.36 ERA over his last seven. His most recent start against Philly, which the Cubs absolutely wasted an excellent start from Yu Darvish, unfortunately. Seven innings, four hits, no earned runs, 10 strikeouts, and 92 pitches. Probably one of his best starts of the year, if not his best. He's had some really good outings for the Cubs. He hasn't had a game where he hasn't struck out less than six batters in his last seven starts. He's doing really good. In his last game against San Francisco, the Giants, somewhere in California, he received a no decision on July 23rd. Six innings, six hits, four earned runs, one walk, six strikeouts. An okay start, and that was kind of the start of maybe turning things for Darvish. After that start, he really started to put together some solid games. That was actually his last game he issued a walk as well. So let's hope for good things. The Giants, if I remember correctly, didn't hit him all that hard. It was a lot of soft contact that was slipping through. The Cubs' defense has not been as good as it has been in past, so we'll have to see what happens here. There's not a ton of Giants that are seeing Yu Darvish super well, and a lot of guys have only seen him 3 and 5 times. Alex Dickerson, in just 3 plate appearances, is OPSing 2667. And then we've got Kevin Pillar, whose 6 plate appearances is OPSing 773 or 733, but no one else is even close to the average beyond that. Some 666s, Brandon Belt in 3 plate appearances. Next highest would be, it looks like, Stephen Voigt in 26 plate appearances, who's seen him the most on the team right now, OPSing 538. So the Cubs against Rodriguez, he's never officially faced the Cubs, but couple guys have had a couple plate appearances against him while he was with other teams. The highest OPS on the team right now is Tony Kemp, who has seen him 3 times, OPSing 1,000. The next highest is Chris Bryan, who's seen him twice, OPSing 500. Everyone else hasn't gotten a hit against him in just 1 plate appearance or 2. Luke Roy is the only one that has, and Jason Hayward, actually 2 plate appearances, OPSing zero because they haven't gotten a hit against him. So it'll be interesting to see. This is kind of the guy that the Cubs struggle against, the guys they haven't been able to see too much, doesn't strike out too many batters, induces a lot of soft contact, hasn't given up a ton of home runs. He's only pitched 71 innings, though, and 11 home runs, you know, double that inning total, and he's probably closer to 21, 22 potentially. So obviously a little susceptible to the home run ball, doesn't walk a lot of guys, but he's not striking out a lot of guys. So the Cubs are going to have to probably be patient, file some pitches off, and hope for a mistake. That's their best approach here. They saw a lot of pitches from Tyler Beede yesterday, and that felt very good. It felt like it reminded me a little bit of the Cubs in 2016 and 2015, seeing a lot of those pitches, working those high pitch counts, and getting into the bullpen deep early into the game. So we'll have to see. Brendan Miller pointed out here as well on Twitter today that Yu Darvish's four-seam and splitter are essentially tunneling due to the exact same release point, which is making it incredibly hard to differentiate between the two. They're essentially following each other. And as Brendan Miller pointed out here on Twitter, I retweeted it from the Lockdown Cubs page if you want to check this out. Just pulling up charts from FanSided, or excuse me, FanGraphs, just showing where the release points are essentially for both the split finger and the fastball. And over his last couple starts since essentially June on, those release points are kind of lining up identically with each other, which essentially means, for those who don't know what tunneling is, it just looks like the split finger, when he's throwing it, since it's coming out at the same spot and moving in a similar direction up until some late movement dropping away or, you know, towards a batter, whatever it may be, it looks like the same pitch until that splitter moves. So the splitter is lining up with his fastball, so it's making it tougher for batters to differentiate between the two. So that's why you might see tonight Darvish throwing some high heat and then maybe a splitter dropping away and some really ugly swings. When you factor in the slider cutter changer or a combo as well, I mean, the guy just has a ton of pitches. And when he's got his fastball right, everything else works. And that's kind of what we've seen the difference from Darvish. If Darvish can continue pitching like this, the Cubs have a serious weapon in the postseason, because this is the one guy that really can miss bats in this rotation. Because everyone else, I mean, Hamels will have moments. Kyle Hendricks can do some interesting things with his changeup. Jose Quintana, when he's got his two curveballs working and a changeup that he feels comfortable with, It can happen. John Lester, I guess, same thing, but he's more of dotting the corners and getting no, you know, looking strikeouts or fooling some guys on some soft contact. Darvish is the one guy that can really go out and just miss bats and mow people down, and that's a huge asset to have in the postseason, obviously. So a couple quick notes here before we wrap up the show. Chris Bryant's hair, if you guys haven't seen it, is really, really bad. Twitter kind of took at him a little bit. It's interesting to see. My girlfriend has been kind of complaining about Chris Bryant's hair for the last like month or so, because obviously she thinks Chris Bryant is gorgeous, as we all do. But yeah, it's a weird like mullet combination. I saw some tweets with like look like those like Davy Crockett like raccoon hats with it's like a raccoon head with the tail sticking out or whatever. It's very interesting, but that's kind of what his hair looks like. Very, very southern, you know, mullet type guy. Someone you'd expect to be on the Duke of Hazzards, not stepping up to play third base for the Cubs. So thought that was kind of funny. Craig Kimbrel was lighting up the radar gun in his save appearance, his 10th save of the season for the Cubs, touching 98, 98, 97, 98, 98, 97, 98, and 96 on his fastballs that he threw. Threw eight of them, looking great. The velocity dipped a little bit before when he came up in July 23rd, and it hadn't looked quite great. We saw some 94s, 95s, 93 I think was the lowest I think I saw, but he's typically averaged somewhere between 95 to 97. We saw a dip from there. That started to come back up since returning from the IL on August 5th, or heading, he hit the IL on, or no, he returned on August 5th, excuse me, timelines are weird. No, he went on the IL on August 5th, came back 10 days afterwards. He's been better since then, because obviously he just returned this past weekend. So we're seeing some improvement from Kimbrel, and that's great to see. Obviously, we knew it was going to take a moment to ramp up, and I think some fans kind of expected Kimbrel to step in onto the mound and just be, you know, elite superstar guy. And while he might have been working off season, it's a completely different animal when you come into the bottom of the ninth in a safe situation. So we're seeing Kimbrel kind of get back to where he needs to be, hopefully with the bullpen getting healthy and you know, maybe getting guys like Stroop and Cishek some time off might actually help the Cubs as they push towards September and hopefully the playoffs. So but good things to see from Craig Kimbrel. That's always nice when your closer can consistently hit 97, 98 miles an hour. I am not a math doctor, but I've heard those are good things. More on Ben Zobrist. It sounds like he is going to be playing for the AA team this week. I think he's going to have his final game on, I believe it was Thursday. So he's going to play one more game for AA in Jackson, Tennessee, and then he'll be heading out to AAA Iowa for Friday and Saturday. Cubs, Iowa Cubs do have a game on Thursday. He's not going to play in that, obviously. So hopefully, I mean, as long as Ben Zobrist is activated on the 31st before the end of the day, he is postseason eligible. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs allow him to stay there as long as they can and do a quick option if they need to, of like Russell, and, you know, send him down to Iowa, but just keep him on the roster for a day. And then, you know, once the rosters expand, add him back to the 40-man or add him back to the active roster for the Cubs and the MLB level. So, but Zobrist is returning. He could be inserted into the leadoff spot. Obviously, his veteran switch hitting presence in that lineup is huge. But I don't think he necessarily fixes a lot of things. He'll probably get some time at second base. And we've seen Hap go there a little bit and struggle some. Tony Kemp hasn't done quite everything you're hoping for with the bat, and the speed hasn't quite shown up, but he's obviously been solid there. Addison Russ on this roster now will get time at second base. If Zobrist can hit, the Cubs are showing now, right now, as great as their defense can be at times, they really need the offense. They need the bats to step up, because with Rizzo, Castellanos, Hayward, Bryant, and Baez kind of having to take the lion's share of the offense, we're needing guys to kind of step up and be crucial, and Ben Zobrist is exactly that, and then some. So, Joe Madden touched on the team here as he was talking about the mentality in August as a kind of 80% mental and 20% physical. And all he was saying, essentially, I didn't want to include a quote because it was very Joe Madden-esque with, you know, Joe Maddenisms thrown throughout it. But essentially what he was saying is that it can be tough to get motivated in August because, you kind of drudge through the season. It's a long season. You're getting hot, humid temperatures right now in Chicago and most places in America right now. It's tough to stay motivated and focused on your goal, but it feels like the Cubs are doing that and then some. So Madden said, you know, the 80% mental part of this game is what's going to basically decide whether the Cubs really push themselves back into this. You know, I mean, they're still in the postseason. They're still in the division conversation a half game out, but it just feels like it's taking more and more effort here as we go. Baez was particularly upbeat, as he always is. He was talking after the Tuesday night win saying, I think we're in a good spot. We're actually not paying attention to other teams. It looks like they're paying attention to us. But we've had ups and downs. We're just trying to get that out of the way and just keep going. So essentially he's saying, you know, people are watching them because they know that they're the team to watch in this division. And on paper, this team should be a lot better than they're playing. And, you know, we've seen that with their terrible road record, playing much better at home. Everyone seems to be hitting better at home, including Javier Baez. He's batting like 240 with a 280-something on base percentage. I think weighted runs creation plus of like 83. Obviously, road numbers compared to home numbers for Baez tell the difference here. But let's jump to the NL Central standings here right now. Obviously, the Cubs still a half game back since St. Louis beat the Brewers, I believe it was 9-4, as I pulled that number up here. Yeah, 9-4. So St. Louis still holding on to the division right now with a half game lead at 67-57. Cubs at 67-58, a half game back. Milwaukee 64-62, four games back. Cincinnati 59-66, 8.5 back. Pittsburgh 52-73, 15.5 back. The Reds did beat the Padres yesterday. They won 3-2. Sonny Gray, I think his loader is ERA down to sub 250. He has looked very good for the Reds. He's turning quietly himself into another ace, which is great to see. I'm a big Sonny Gray fan and obviously cheering for him a little bit here. And then Pittsburgh was able to beat the Nationals 4-1. So your NL wildcard standings look as follows right now. Cubs holding on to the final wildcard spot right now. They have a two-game lead over Philly and the Mets. The Brewers at 3.5 back, Arizona at 4 back, San Francisco now at 4.5 back, the Padres 8 back, Cincy 8 back. But that will do it here for today's episode of Locked On Cubs. Remember to get this show every day. You need to subscribe to Locked On Cubs on the Himalaya app or whatever podcasting app you use, whether that's Google, Apple, TuneIn App, Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. That greatly helps us in terms of what we're doing here now, what we're doing in the future. So please go ahead and do that if you can. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. A ton of promos I've got going on here in September that I'm excited about, so I'll announce later this month. But keep an eye on that. Make sure you're following Lockdown Cubs for some great chances at the end of the season. And then make sure you follow myself at Sean R. Sears. Thanks for tuning into your Daily Cubs podcast, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. And as always, go Cubbies.